Yes. All right. We'll mention it again upstairs, too. Brother Francisco has lost his yellow-binded notebook. If anybody sees it, please turn it in, or if you know where it is. It was upstairs in the sanctuary. So.
It's got all of his poems in it.
Okay. Well, generally, when they clean the church, if they pick it up, they'll put it somewhere, so. We'll probably be able to locate it. All right, we're in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation still. I think we're Does anybody know what verse we left off on? Let's see. I think I remember, didn't I read about him having a name that his name on his thigh was the Word of God? Didn't we read that in the 13th verse? Maybe we'll start right there in the 11th verse. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. If you remember the white horse in the 6th chapter, which is the early church. Did you find your notebook? That's not the, that's okay, but it's like that? Okay. Okay. What holds this for? There we go. In the 6th chapter, of course, it starts out with the white horse. And he that setteth upon him had a bow in his hand. He went forth conquering and to conquer. So which was a picture of the early church, and the white horse is a picture of the church. Horses are symbolic of the church in prophecy. I'll just give you, let me give you a scripture. Is it Joel 2? I don't know if we covered this before, but Joel 2 and 4, is it the 4th verse? It shows that this is the day of the Lord in verse 1, the very last part of that verse. Shows the day of the Lord cometh, for it's nigh at hand. And then in verse 3, verse 2, it talks about a great people. And of course, Joel's prophesying of the New Testament church. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, said, "This is that was prophesied of him by the prophet Joel." This great people, strong, will not be any more like, neither shall there be any more after it for the years of many generations. And fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burneth. And the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, which shows the falling away of the church, that they were headed back into paradise or the Garden of Eden in the early church, but after them the church would fall away and there'd be a desolate wilderness and nothing would escape them. And the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of flame of fire, and devour the stubble, and as a strong people set in battle array. So he gives a good picture prophetically there that the church is like horses. It's, you know, it's like a war, like an army of horses. And so there's, you could also, won't take the time right now, but, well, we could look real quick. Zechariah, give you another witness. Let's see, Zechariah 10. Let's start in 3. It says, "My anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together." That's a good scripture for the 6th chapter, showing that the rider had a bow in his hand. verse 5, "And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded." So it's just depicting prophetically the symbols of the church as horses. And of course, it's a white horse. The falling away in the 6th chapter, it went from a white horse to a red horse, which shows sin entered in, and that was a Pentecostal era. We're still in, we're going back where it fell from a white horse or divine order of God, righteousness of God. The 4th chapter of the book of Revelations, you see 24 elders clothed in linen and white, which shows that there's a ministry in a restored church that's righteous. It shows the righteousness of the ministry. They had crowns of gold on their head. They'll be rulers, but they'll they'll rule with purity, just like gold is pure. And wisdom is made like unto gold in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is depicted as gold, and understanding as silver. So, excuse me. So in the 19th chapter here, we're seeing the church is here. It's back to a white horse. It went from a white to red, or Pentecostal era, from red to black, which is darkness and ignorance of the Word of God, to a Protestant type era, from Protestant type era to a pale horse, which is Catholicism. And God's been restoring the church since the days of the reformers. The main reformer that God used to bring the church out of the Catholic Church, our restoration out of that, was Martin Luther, and then John and Charles Wesley, and that went back to a black horse type era, a Protestant era. That's where Protestantism was restored. And then, of course, at the turn of the century, Pentecostal era was restored, the red horse. We're still in the red horse era. but I do think that there's some white hairs starting to develop. You know, I think we're moving out of the red horse era. We won't be completely out of it till this 30 years is up. But there's a white horse or a righteous working. I think God's doing that right now. I think God's purging things out of this body, and primarily the ministry. God's bringing judgment on the ministry and cleaning up the ministry in this body. So you can feel that and see it in every meeting We just come out of a meeting where, you know, the Lord, I felt like, put some strong requirements on us. He's keeping pressure on us. He wants us to move up. So here in the 19th chapter, it's showing that here Jesus is on the white horse. And he's called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So when the church is restored, God's establishing righteousness. And first it has to be, like Peter said, judgment must first begin at the house of God. We're going to have to be judged if God's going to be able to use us to bring righteous judgment on the world. So, and then make war. There's going to be another war in heaven. God is going to be at war against all false religion, all falsehood. He's going to rule and reign until every enemy becomes his footstool. He's going to put everything's going to submit to the things of God, or the Lord will destroy it in the end. But his judgment is, you know, when you look at this, God's not out to destroy with malice. He's out to save everything that can be saved, but what can't be saved, he will destroy. He'll judge it. But he won't do that until first. That's why it's necessary for there to be a restored church, is God will not eternally judge his people until they see until they've had an opportunity to have the full plan of God, a sevenfold light, manifested to them. God's not going to judge you something he's never gave you an opportunity to understand. If you reject it, then you judge yourself unworthy. But if you'll open your heart and receive it, it'll judge you worthy. And, you know, you can receive it, and then you can turn it down at some point. You know, Demas in the New Testament, Demas was a man that had received the things of God, lived in a sevenfold light era. But he backslid, didn't he? And then, he came back, and Paul restored him. And so, it just shows that you until you get to a place that you can make it, you know, it does have something to do with you and your will, your willingness to submit to the things of God. Somebody, I thought it was a little bit ironic, a preacher that I know that he's taught that you can overcome down through the dark ages anytime. You know, it's enough from the early church on, you could overcome sin and make the bride. But he preached in this meeting, I heard him, he said, until you've heard an overcoming message, you can't overcome till you hear an overcoming message. I nailed him after church. I said, hey, I want to know what you're talking about here. You're saying two different things. He said, well, you know what? Maybe we can't overcome. He said, well, maybe we've got enough truth now to overcome. I said, when did we get it? When did we cross the line? You know, tell me when that happened. I think you'll know when you overcome. My problem with saying that you can overcome sin is we've only had these truths for 100 years or a little better. And I've been pretty close to several of the ministers in this body this whole last generation, and I don't know one of them that overcame. I knew them personally, and I knew, and they would tell you right up to their death that they hadn't overcome. So it's hard for me to think you could do it during the dark ages when you can't do it with the light we've got. So, but I still say, strive and do all you can do and stay just, and you'll make it. You'll get a better resurrection that you can make it in. All right, verse 12. His eyes were as flames of fire, and on his head was many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. It's kind of ironic that in the verse above it says he had a name no man knew but he himself, and the next verse it says his name was the Word of God. Well, until you really know the Word of God, until it's really established in your mind, and until you see, every one of us have our own testimony. Jesus had his own testimony. In the 12th chapter, it says that war in heaven back there in the early church. If you want to look, chapter 12. Verse 7 said there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That ministry, Michael is the word Michael means like God. That's Jesus' military name. He and his angels, his ministry back there in the early church, fought against the dragon, which was the beast system of their day, which was Rome, and Judaism was a predominant religion at that time. And they had to war. It had turned into a carnal operation, a religious system that tried to dominate the world, but it couldn't dominate Jesus and the church, the body of Christ. Well, they fought, but the dragon and his angels prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That just meant that the early church ministry was able to see the religious world had a great influence over the people. But when you show the falsehood, remember, Jesus said that. He said, they say and do not. He kept telling his disciples, don't do as they do, but do as they say. And he showed how they'd come out in their robes, large phylacteries, and, you know, but he showed how they were. In one place he said they're full of dead men's bones, or whited sepulchres, or in other words, they're graves. They're dead. They don't have the life of God. This is not of God. That's why Jesus wouldn't join up with any of them. He finally said, I'm going to build a church. Because he saw that they couldn't receive the things of God. And but that ministry back there, even after Jesus died, they went throughout the land preaching the gospel and calling people out of all those false religious sects, and it cast down the influence that false religion had in people's lives. And that's why the dragon had no, his place wasn't found anymore in heaven. In other words, he came down out of a high place. That ministry destroyed the influence and caused him to come down. He no longer was held in a heavenly place in the minds of the people, or the false religion wasn't. They were all converted to the body of Christ and the understanding of the truth of the Word of God. And and it says in verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan. Right there shows all four categories of evil: the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. There's different operations of evil. Starts out as a serpent, develops into the devil and Satan, and then the dragon system finally forms. And that's when civil powers and religious powers finally join up together and are united, and like they were in the early church. That's how they killed Jesus. Rome and the early that religious system back there was against the early church, and they tried to stop it. And that was a dragon system. Rome was the head of the dragon then, at that time. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. In other words, God destroyed that system in the minds of people and the ministry of it. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that's the Holy Ghost, and by the word of their testimony. See, it's the word of your testimony is how you're going to overcome. God's called every one of you, and the word of God has to become your testimony. Every one of us we're living our lives. God's directing our lives, and the word of God, which is, by the way, that's the book of life. That's what the book of life is. It's the word of God. That's the only book you can get life from. And the book of life is this word of God. I'll jump over and give you something. In the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, now this is talking about after the 1,000 years, but this applies to even us. It says, and the books were opened. There's a difference right there. There's several things right there. It says, and the books were opened. Then it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And out of the books, men were judged. They're judged. And that, where it says the books were opened, that's talking about out of the records. That's really like a scroll. It's your scroll. You're an epistle read and known among men. That's a book. The books. Each one of you is a page in the books. Each one of you have a record. God's got a record of you. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's the word of God that you're being judged by. That's what is writing on your page. That's what your life is. That's your testimony. That's the word of your testimony. It's the word of God that's being inscribed upon your mind and your heart and becoming a part of your spirit. And so I don't remember how does that say it? Yeah, it says the books were opened. All right, that's your, those books there is individual records. Just like it's the same word, it's the same, that Greek word is the same Hebrew word that's in Malachi 3 where it said a book of remembrance was written. That's the same thing. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's the word of God that judged the record that was of them. That's, you'll be judged by your deeds. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So the deeds, the record, what was written in the books, Sister Inez? No, it says in another book, which is the book of life. That's the word of God. So, the books were opened. That comes from the Greek word nine, Strong's number 975. Yeah. And that's the Hebrew word that of it. But another book was opened. That book there is, if you look up that Greek word, it's 976. It's the Strong's number 976. And when you trace that, it'll be like in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Psalms. That's the Word of God. That other book, which is the book of life, is the Word of God that judges your life. But these other books are writings. In other words, you're an epistle that the Word, you're becoming the Word of God. And it's the deeds that's works in your life is what you're going to be judged by. Every man will be judged by his own deeds. Yes, Brother Jerry. See, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Now that's your scroll. That's not the Word of God, but it's according to their works. There's a record being kept of you. God's got a record. And you're being judged according to the works, which is your record. And it's the Word of God that you've responded to down through life.
So my book started when I was physically born, or when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that when my book began? And then that book throughout my life, testimony, is compared to the book of life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, but what I'm saying is,
I'm saying the effect of the Word of God on your life, how you've responded to it, has created a record that God is aware of.
So it's compared to the book of life, then that my testimony or my book that I'm writing of my life, you're saying then, is compared to the Word of God, whether it stands or not.
Right. In other words, right now. Right now, God's called you the body of Christ, and the Word of God is going across. And it's entering your heart, your ears, and the Holy Ghost is quickening that to you. And you're responding to that is what, the Word of God is judging you right now to a certain extent. It's not judging you eternally yet because it's not the fullness of it hadn't been established. But you're being judged according to what you do know, what God has revealed to you, and the faith that you have responded to God by. That's the record that God's looking at. He's judging your heart. But the thing about it is, see, the Word of God gets in our life just because you hear something. Just because God quickens it to you doesn't mean you really understand it fully. Are that you are able to really live that yet. You're going to have to be tried in that. God, He first gives you the Word of God, then He'll put you through it. He'll put you through trials. God will, He'll put you through some tribulation to find out whether or not, did you really get that, what I showed you? Are you going to look to situations? Are you going to look to the flesh? Are you going to try to figure out how to get out of these problems yourself? Are you going to lean on the Word of God that I've gave you? Most people, just like the parable of the sower, the stony ground, if you don't have hardly any depth in your life and you've got too much carnality and too much flesh, then generally when you first hear the Word of God, the Bible says that they receive it with gladness. But then when tribulation comes, they're offended and they give up the Word of God. See, it's because the people don't understand. You know, people come in, this happens all the time. It's real frustrating to preachers. You get a person that'll come in, start receiving the Word of God, and then you start seeing them go through trials. And then when they go through a trial, they give up everything. You know, they're not living by faith anymore. This trial overcame me. It overthrew me. I can't bear this. And so they backslide. They go back out. But you got to finally get enough of the stony ground out of your life that you can get enough root of the Word of God that will cause you to hold on through trials. You'll realize, you know, the Word of God will get me through this trial. And I'm convinced that, you know, a lot of times we absolutely cannot see or figure out why is this happening to me? You know, here I'm living a good life, I'm doing everything I know to do, and now I'm going through a terrible trial. Well, God is, he's checking you out. He's seeing how much strength, how much can you bear? How strong can you be through trials and tribulations? You know, Jesus hung on a cross and held through it all the way. You know, but it's like Demas. Something happened to Demas, didn't it? Am I right about Demas? Yeah, he's the man I'm thinking about. Somebody had their hand. Brother Brian.
In some way, judging ourselves by what we do or don't do or how we act or react to whatever situation is taking place in our lives.
In a sense, we do, because we have a choice, you know. See, the big part of this is responsibility of God. He gives us the Word of God. It's done by the Holy Ghost. This is an operation of the Spirit of God. And so you can't receive anything of your own desires, of your own doing. It takes God. But you've got to get humble enough when God does deal with you, it takes humility to receive what God's trying to do in our lives. Then it's left up to us to respond to it. And, I mean, you can't blame God for Adam falling. He had everything available to keep him from falling. But he made a decision to go against God. And so there's a decision there's on our part. And we're going through a certain level of judgment, and a record's being kept. And that's what shows whether or not we're just. If I'm living by all that's been I've received, That doesn't mean that you're living by everything you've heard, but it's by what you've really been established in. I used to, when I was a younger preacher, I could talk to somebody and I could see a light go off in their eyes. I knew they got it. And then later, they went back. They pulled back. I used to, you know, rake them over the coals for that. You know, I'd think they're worthy of judgment because they got it. But after more years of experience and a little bit more wisdom, I realized that just because somebody hears it and it's the Word of God's quickened to them. That's when you get it, but you're not established in it yet. You're going to have to go through a process for it to actually become a part of your understanding, even after you understand it. You first get knowledge, then you get understanding, but it has to work into wisdom. Wisdom is finally the righteousness of God that becomes a part of your character. Jesus is the wisdom of God, and until you're established in Him, and that's wisdom. You've got to get wisdom. I've got to get wisdom. We've got to become wise like Jesus. So, somebody else had it. Sister Inez.
In books, is everybody's records here?
Record?
In the books.
Well, in the 20th chapter, that setting right there is dealing with the resurrection of the unjust. Those are God's people that aren't just, and they're going to be judged. Their record's going to come up. And God's going to judge them according to their deeds. In other words, when they come up, they may come up and receive the Holy Ghost if they hadn't received it, if they hadn't been baptized. They're going to come up, and they're going to stand there before the bride and Christ and the world that has finally the righteousness of God and the sevenfold light is shining. They're going to come up and they're going to get an opportunity to hear that. And they're going to have to respond to every bit of it. And they're going to have to overcome sin. And God's going to judge them according to their record. In other words, when they come up, they're coming up unjust. But, you see, because the sea, death, and hell is the three looking. I see we're jumping ahead, but there in Revelation 20, it said the dead are judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the... wait a minute. Let me back up. Yes. And hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is second death. That's eternal judgment. And whosoever is not found in the book of life. See, you're going to have to... The Word of God is going to have to find you worthy of life. The judgment of the Word of God. Now, let me back up. Verse 13 said, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And every man was adjudged according to his works. So here's the books that are actually opened up. The sea, death, and hell. See, there's a lot of God's people. The sea is humanity. That's the world of humanity out here. That's the ungodly world. There's a lot of God's people that got the Word of God in here. They were born of God's Spirit. They have a measure of faith in their life, but they couldn't live the life, and they went back out into the world. That's the sea. Those people that are in the sea that are God's children. See, God will never leave them. They may have left God, but He'll never leave them and He won't forsake them. He'll bring them up in a resurrection of the unjust and allow them to hear the whole Word of God. See, because many, many people has come up in faith, but they hadn't heard enough of the truth to really respond to God correctly. God knows that. So God, in His mercy, He's not going to judge you eternally until you've had an opportunity to hear the whole plan of God. And so they went back out into the sea. Then death and hell, those are two more records that God's going to bring up. And that's people like death is people that's right here in the church. They're not out in the sea. They hadn't went out into the world. But they're not living a dedicated life and they know it. There's people right here in this church that are not living righteously. They're not living the life they ought to be living. I guarantee you there's young people in here that if they'd tell you their heart, they'd tell you, I'm not living right. There's some grown people in here that'd tell you that if they'll tell the truth. They'd just tell you, I'm not doing everything I know to do. I know I'm not. But I'm not willing to go out in the world and I'm not about to go to Babylon. I know too much to do that. And so they're in here and death is reigning in their life because they're not living by faith. They're not living a dedicated life. So death, even though death's reigning, they hadn't went out into the world, they hadn't backslid. But they won't leave the church, and they won't go to Babylon, but they won't go to the world either. But they're still not living right. In fact, all of us have been in that category at some time, wouldn't you agree? I don't see no hands, but I know you all know I'm telling the truth. There's times that we get in the wrong spirit and we'll all have to say, I ain't in the right spirit. I've got to get some things straightened out. I'm just telling you, there's been times when Sister Smith and I've walked in the door and we've had a knockdown drag out on the way to church. Sister Bryant understands that. But we walk in the door and all right, we gotta be saved now. We'll take this fight up later. you know that ain't right, but but you can't do any. You may not be able to do any different than that. You may not have enough of God in you to do any better. But God does look at your heart. You can even be just in a situation like that. God can see your heart, know your heart. is just. You just don't have enough of God to overcome all of that. But I am talking about people that says, I know I'm not living right. I'm not doing right, but I'm still going. I'm still going to go. You know, and I could tell you some, you know, y'all know what I'm saying there. All right, then hell. Hell right here is, it's religion. It has to do with Babylon. There's people in Babylon. There's people in Babylon, by the way, that are just. And there's people in there that are also dead. See, these categories don't just put you in one spot all the time, but there's people that are a part of the system. In other words, you know, like Paul, the Apostle Paul, when his name was Saul. He was a Judaizer, but he was God's child. He was in hell. He was in a hellish condition. Jesus said that. He said, and Saul was a part of this. He said, you make proselytes twofold more the child of hell than you are yourselves. Do what? Yeah. Yeah. To make a proselyte. So he was in a hellish condition in Judaism, but God got him out of it. But if he had died in that, he'd have came up right down here. So, as being unjust. Now, I borrowed that to show you that we all have a book. We've got a record that's being wrote right now on us. And we're being judged by the Word of God. It's the same thing's happening to us regardless. I mean, I'm just showing you how God's going to deal with it at the end of the 1,000 years, but He's dealing with it right now. There's a book of remembrance being written on every one of us, or a record that God is remembering. He's got a record of you. He will be judged by every deed. So, right there, where it says, and the books were opened, that's your record. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And if you look that up in the Greek, you'll find that there ain't even the word book there is not even, it's not even recorded in the Greek text. It's the life of, that book of life there is the Word of God. Where it says another book, that shows the Greek Strong's word 976. And that's the Word of God, which was the book of life. In the Greek it just says, which is life, Sister Crow. Right, that's the Word of God, which is that is God. That's His character. That's His. The whole Word of God is in the 19th chapter. I was showing Jesus. His name was the Word of God. He was God the Father's Word manifested in the flesh. All of the characteristics of God was developed in Christ while He was here, and He ministered the pure, unadulterated Word of God. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Now that there is the dead were judged out of things written in the books. That's the Word of God again. That's the same word as the book of life, according to their works. So every one of us are going to be, you know, judged. I'm just trying to get those books straightened out for you to help you see. There's a record. God's got a book of remembrance. He's writing. All right, we're done. We're over time. I won't charge you any extra for it. But